Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, you've seen her on Conan, on Two Dope Queens on HBO, and she has a podcast called The Dork Forest. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jackie Cation.
Thank you. Hello, Minnesota and NPR. I love stand-up comedy, and I get to do it everywhere. And it's actually been very good for me because I'm not particularly good with people. I am from Wisconsin. I'm the youngest of six. I have four older brothers and an older sister. Before the age of seven, in my family, there was a lot of hitting. A lot of hitting. Our parents hit us. We hit each other. It was the 70s. It's the golden age of hitting. It's over. Don't worry about it.
It is Flash in Hell this week. We have a guest who's been on Conan. That's right. It's comedian Jackie Cation. Thank you for downloading this episode of Welcome to Hell. Hang in there, guys.
Hello. Nice haircut.
Thank you. I went early on the clippers. And yeah. I've been to grow my greys out for a long time. And I thought, fuck, this is the time.
I got a rogue-like stripe of white coming in. It's
nice. I'm wearing a turban. So, I mean, it's all good. Thank you for joining us.
A little bit of background. So we're talking to Jackie Cation, who is a stand-up comedian from the United States of America, who I have known, I think, since 2005 or four. Jackie, I couldn't remember, but a long time.
Yeah.
And Michelle and Jackie are meeting now. But you know what? This is not something I normally do. But today I thought, even though this is someone I know, I'm going to do a bit of, I'm going to Google the shit out of Jackie Cation.
Nice.
And I learned a couple of things, girl.
Oh, did you? Well, it's only been 15 years. I'll tell you, I had Aisha Tyler on my podcast, The Dork Forest, probably yes. 10 years ago. And I was like, have you been doing anything since Friends?
Yes.
And she was like, yeah, I've been working. And
been doing a few things. Yeah, but you know when you meet someone, especially in a festival environment, so Michelle, Jackie and I met at Comedy Festival, mm-hmm. when you meet someone in a festival environment, they're frozen in time for you in that time.
Yep.
And plus then you have the kind of weirdness of being able to follow that person via mutual friends, the internet, like hearing stuff about it. So you feel like you're still in their life.
Right, right.
Well, one of the main things that I learned about you that I thought I would have known is that you are Armenian.
I am Armenian.
Oh, well, you probably don't know this, but you should. I am not secret at all in my love for the Kardashians, who arguably the most famous Armenians on the planet.
They are a certifiable mess, those people. I'm not saying that they are not marketing geniuses. And they clearly, there's been some working out. There's some sit-ups happening.
If it weren't for the Kardashians, I would not know about the Armenian genocide. So be grateful to your people.
Right. Right. You might want to read a book. What? That got angry. If you go to my Bandcamp, there's two bits. There's one that's on my last album, so it's available free. But it's about my grandmother in the genocide. And then there's another, and these are both very funny genocide stories. Nobody doesn't right. want a funny genocide story. And then I've got my great uncle Haji, that story as well. So
see, I can't hear Bandcamp without thinking about someone putting a flute up their hoo-ha. So
is I'm unfamiliar with the Kardashian genocide stories.
I'm going to go to Bandcamp and listen to your Armenian stories. I'm inspired by Kim Kardashian on many levels. That's one. Sure. And, of course, on Jackie Cation. Michelle, have you got any questions for young Jackie?
Yeah, I haven't seen any gigs, any stand-up gigs online. So how do they work? Can you hear the laughter? Surely.
Well, the ones that I like the best, oh, yes. Oh, yes, I have a favorite. It's like having a favorite non-alcoholic beer. It is, which, by the way, is the O'Doul's Amber. Anyway, so.
Are you not drinking, Jackie?
No, I used to drink, and then I got a couple of DUIs, and then I decided that it was a terrible idea.
So how long have you drunk?
Almost 22 years. I'm in for the duration, is what
I'm
saying.
You're done.
Yes.
You're good. You're golden.
It's all good. And for the most part, I don't miss it. So, but here's a scoop, is the Zoom shows, there's different ways that people have been doing stand-up online. There's and I've done Instagram, YouTube, Live, Facebook Live, and Twitch. And the Zoom ones are the best because you can unmute people and you can hear the laughs. And there's a very famous, it is not famous. It's a terrible after-school special from 1979 that I saw when I was a child. And it's the Freddie Prinze story. And it's called Can You Hear the Laughter? And it's about how he kills himself because he can't hear the laughter.
Oh, Jesus.
You got to hear the laughter. So, yes, the Zoom shows are the best because, like, both shows tonight had over 200 people. And my husband has been working. He's been doing – the online shows need tech people just like a real show, right? You need someone to work the sound, and you need someone sort of to work the door because there's hecklers, there's trolls. New 14-year-olds are being born every day.
Oh, no.
And so you gotta have someone to mute the dum-dums.
Actually, can I put a pin in there? I think this is very interesting because it's like – when people start out in stand-up or they start running a room for the first time and they think all that shit doesn't matter, you know, that all you've got to do is, like, get some people there and, you know, if you've got a milk crate and a megaphone, it will be right.
Yeah.
And then you realise, actually, if people can't see and hear you, you're all fucked. And we're probably there now with having to go online. I guess there's some people who just go, I'll just wing it with my phone. Doesn't work.
Nope. It turns out everything is a learned skill and change sucks. So,
also with Zoom, right, I have a friend who's going to AA meetings on Zoom, and they like early on, they were getting the Zoom bombing, right, which is what you were talking about with the 14. Yeah. How does that work?
Well, I know that Maria Bamford had some reels, and I've been in several of the shows where, and they're terrible. I mean, they're literally... You know, there's nothing worse than a clever 14-year-old. They're a creative bunch of jackasses.
Yeah.
And you're like, I get it. You're looking for negative attention. But Maria has a very funny bit about it. It's pretty good.
One of the, I don't know if you remember this. I know how fraught it is to recall people's old material because I can't remember jokes I wrote a year ago. I honestly can't. But
I love it when people remember mine. It's one of my great...
I remember yours all the time. And I quote them to you. And I'll do it again. But one of my favourites of Jackie's was about Andy. So she met her husband, Andy, online. And I think not long before or after we met, it was around the same sort of time. But you were doing a great joke about Andy and the fact that he was home dusting his curio shelf. It's never left me. It's just, and I believe, if I'm correct, the punchline was like, ladies, that guy is home.
My new Andy joke is, let's see. Oh, I know. It's a Christmas joke, actually, because I didn't know, because I never had a relationship before, that when you're in a relationship together, sometimes you want to have the sexy times, but everybody's exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, you want to do it, but everybody's super tired.
Wow.
And whenever we make the sweet, sweet love and we're super tired, whenever we make sweet, sweet love, I want him to have the best time. He wants me to have the best time because we both like each other a great deal. But when we have the sleepy time sex, when we're both super tired, neither of us has the best time. We have a good time. You know, things happen. Tab A, slot A. I'm a bottom. But whenever we have that sexy time, I call that the sex of the magi. Because nobody gets what they want, really. We're all just rooting around looking for pocket watches and combs.
Well, that's reminded me now. But this whole thing could just be me quoting you two back to you. Because two of my favorite jokes of Michelle's, one of them involved a hand job. And in fact, one of my favorite jokes of Jackie's involved a hand job with an old guy, which I'll come back to. But involved a hand job where, Michelle, you referred to it, I believe, as that kind of time when you don't really feel like having sex with your partner and you just like, you give them a hand job. And I think the tagline was, you know, just helping out a mate.
It's a favour for a mate.
But it did occur to me with the fact there's some profound wisdom in all jokes, or in most jokes, and the profound wisdom in the ladies that dude is home is, to me, it's the shift from what you're looking for when you're 20,
yeah,
versus what you're looking for, which I think you would have been sort of 40-ish when you started dating Andy, where you go, actually, I want someone who's going to be fucking nice to me.
Yeah.
Who's going to be home? Who's going to want to be with me and not this kind of like, you know, guy on a Harley Davidson with the leather jacket and the whole thing. So there's something profound in that, but it occurred to me, does that mean, given Andy is that guy, dusting his curio shelf, how's he going in lockdown?
Oh my God, he's blossoming. And so he could not be happier. He's like, we don't have to go anywhere.
And you're climbing the walls, I'm guessing.
Well, not since I started, you know, not since I started doing the Zoom shows, because it takes care of the need that I have, because I'm supposed to put out a new album this year.
Yes.
But I can't work on a new album if I don't work on a stand-up comedy, right? So at least the stand-up, like we did 2 one-hour shows tonight, where each comic did 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's almost a little too long. So when I do my own shows, I usually do like 30 or 35 minutes, and then I get another comic to do 5 or 10 minutes in front of me. So yeah, if either of you guys want to guess it, just email me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When I started in comedy, so, you know, I mean, I won't go through the whole story again, but I fell into it very much by accident, by landing in a workshop that was supposed to be for something else. And Michelle was there and was one of the first, three or four professional comedians that I'd ever met in my entire life. And I remember the experience. I'd never been to live stand-up, and I went to the Festival Club, which you have done as well, Jackie, and I've performed that as well. And Michelle was the host, and she had that, what I think of as a very quintessential experience of stand-up that we think of in the general public, which is she got heckled. And the way that she handled it, like, I just was like, oh my God, it's like a superpower. I've never seen anything like it.
It's called aggression.
No, it wasn't, though. It actually was charm and disarm.
Was it?
Charm and disarm. It was.
Well, it's also a great outlet. I mean, the thing is it's one of the only places where you have all the power, you know? You have you have an amplification system and they've had six beers.
It's so easy, but you know, and they don't realize it. It's that great moment where they honestly think when they yell something at you that they are in this position of power. They think you're going to be so frightened and embarrassed, you know. And when you stand your ground and smile at them and they see you reveling in the moment and you repeat back what they've just said to you really loudly and you just stand there enjoying it and everyone goes, oh, fuck, she's enjoying it. Oh, and everyone's just so, you know, it's such a beautiful moment, isn't it?
One of my favorite, the first time I ever saw anyone do that was probably 85. This woman, Vanda Michaels, somebody heckled and she just turned to him and went, shh.
Yeah. No.
It was outstanding. And it worked. Yeah. I couldn't believe it worked.
Yeah.
You've got it, because I think it's interesting and I'd love to know your take on it. I mean, in terms of stand-up, but also in terms of coronavirus, the cultural difference stuff. Because I think that sort of very heckling, quite masculine culture of stand-up is more American and Scottish, or more British and American than it is Australian. Like, probably I've been heckled, I don't know about you, Michelle, but I've been heckled in an aggressive way probably a dozen times max.
Well, I think it's sort of the rooms more than the culture. Yeah. Probably, because I mean, when I first started out, I was doing a lot of one-nighters. You just drive.
And you were doing comedy.
It's so funny because I'm working on this thing about regrettable consensual sex.
Oh my god!
Because who hasn't had regrettable consensual sex where you're just like, well, that was mediocre. Interesting. moving on.
But one of my favorite stories, not just of yours, but of all time, is the story about you with the old guy.
Well, the crazy thing about the old man was that it was like a...
Sorry, I'm already laughing because I love it.
No, the weird thing is I have a new old man story too.
Oh, my God.
Not sexual. I pushed an old man. It wasn't okay. Yeah. Anyway.
What? So you assaulted an old man.
He was a terrible person, and but I am definitely not the hero of that story. Yes. The old man story, I was probably 23, and I was bored staying at my sister's house for like a month. And one Sunday afternoon, I went out looking for a video game and a beer on a Sunday afternoon at like 3 o'clock. All of a sudden, it was 11 o'clock. And I was best friends with the career drunks at the bar, one of whom was a guy in his, what, early 80s? And he was genuinely old. So he said, he asked me if I wanted to keep partying, and I said, yeah. So we got into his car, and we drove to a third location. Never go to a third location. Man. So we drank for like another 3 hours. And then he was like, I'll drive you home. And we got in his car. And he started hitting on me. And I was like, oh, gross. Old guy hitting on me. Then it became super sad. He was like, that had been a long time. He was super lonely. He was super sad. And I thought, well, I could fuck that guy. It's not going to kill me. And
favor for a mate. It's a classic favor for a mate.
How about a mate?
Anyway, but I took my hand and I put it on his thigh. And he literally turned to me and he came. Like... like that. I've never felt more powerful as a woman. And I'd love to tell you that the story ends there, but it doesn't.
Oh.
He had to drive to his apartment first so he could change his pants. And then, but he was out of booze. So I walked out. I was like, I waited like 2 seconds. I looked around his house for any more booze. There wasn't any. So I walked into the night. It's like 2-3 in the morning. And I ran into a graduate student, I think from Somalia. I had sex with that guy. Anyway, and then guess what? I wasn't killed. All of my stories end. And then I wasn't killed, you guys.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
You're building on more of those stories for a special.
And it's coming right along. It's pretty great. I only have like one political joke because I've never really done political materials. I've done socio-political material, but political material is I'm just too full of rage. you got to be able to find the funny, right? It's very difficult. And so,
like, obviously Trump is the elephant in the room. So are you, because obviously desperate times, desperate measures, are you doing Trump gear or are you just going, nah, too many people doing it?
Well, my last album came out 6 weeks after the election. Mm. And so for the first time ever, the first 10 minutes of that album is just me panting. And so that first 10 minutes of I'm Not the Hero of This Story, which is my current album, and it's for free, by the way, everywhere anyone might want to listen to it. And so, but it's the first 10 minutes is just literally, it's about where I got my hope, what I'm afraid of, what the fuck. And so there's 10 minutes of that. And then another 45 minutes of the material I was going to do. You know, it's a lot of family stuff. I talk a lot about, you know, being married and having a dad. I've got a new chunk though, because there's so much sexism, right?
Yeah.
And so I have this very big chunk about flirting. How many dudes do you know who are like, you can't flirt anymore, man? And and I know I'm 100 years old, and I've been trying to explain to people that I'm the last generation, because if I talk to a younger woman, I will tell these stories, and these women in their 30s are like,
what?
What did you tolerate?
Yeah.
Why did you? And you're like, no, he's not that bad. You just don't want to be alone with him. He's a nice enough guy.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But the thing is it's so interesting because it's not to do bits about stuff like that. You have to find sort of the love.
Yeah.
Like it has to come from a place of the men that I know who are sane and adults. Mm. And not monsters, right?
How the fuck do you do that in the era of Trump, though?
I mean, literally, at this point, it's white supremacy. I mean, you can't say that he's smart. You can't say that he's good at the job that he refuses to do. You can't, there's no defense. And there was no defense of him when he was on that stupid show. Like, he's not even charming.
So it's really hard, and I was saying this to you the other day, we've got a really sort of skewed view of American politics through an Australian lens, you know, and some international media. But the main things that are coming through to me are obviously the crazy disinfectant, inject and clean your blood stuff and all of the other crazy things that he says. Like, is that stuff, how's that stuff being reported and received, do you think, in America? Or is it very much depends if you're talking about Fox or ABC or...
He's so clearly unhinged that even Fox is having a hard time not pointing out how bananas he is. The reporting that's being done is, I don't watch the news. I read the news, and I have ever since Bill Clinton read speeches instead of watched them, because I can see the lies easier. And it doesn't matter if I agree with the politician for the most part or not. So I don't want to hear your weird, charming voice, Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You are the smartest guy in the room. I'll give you that. But you are also a career politician, so there are things that you're not telling me. Donald Trump is the kind of guy who has failed upward his entire life. Like, I was hoping the American empire would go out with a whimper, not with a bang. The only silver lining I think about this whole situation is that the Germans are going to get to be the good guys in World War III. And that's nice for them.
Oh,
come on. You admit the worst thing you ever did, you get to be the hero in the sequel. Oh. So good for the Germans. The smartest people in the room right now are just in shock. But
Jackie, have you heard of the future world leader who is hot and overqualified, Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand?
No.
Okay, that's your homework. Basically showing the big boys, and I say boys advisedly, the big boys how it's done.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's weird that the North Korea might have a woman leader before us.
Yeah.
Before the United States.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a terrible time for the United States. Oh. The thing is, I can't live. All I can do is try to help the person in front of me, right? And I never know if I'm doing it just to be a jackass or if I'm actually, you know, it can sometimes be a little blurry. What this is doing in many ways is it's showing a lot of the real problems that we've never dealt with. So the civilization process is so slow and full of upheaval and all these things. And I've never wanted to live through history, but here we are, I just need to be on the right side of it. And I need to make sure that I'm not part of the problem and that I'm doing what I can to help and be the part of the good guys, you know?
And it feels like, and I could be wrong, Michelle might have a different view, but it feels like Australians and Americans in the broadest possible sense are responding in very similar ways in lots of ways. You know, we're used to a very high level of privilege. We're used to freedom. We're used to, you know, full supermarket shelves, having whatever we want, traveling, all the rest of it. One difference, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we don't have people protesting against the lockdown.
I would say the difference, though, is that our death rate is so much lower and that we have universal healthcare and that we have a safety net of welfare.
You have a government, even if it's a city government. You have all the positions are filled.
Yes.
You know that he hasn't filled any of their, almost every department is not been appointed, not been filled. Yeah, we have a great deal of unrest that is yet to come.
So and the protesters who are, you know, we're seeing, white guys in bandanas kind of going, you won't take my freedom. Are they protesting? Because it seems to me they're pro-Trump.
Right. There's not as many as has been depicted. You know, we're talking hundreds instead of thousands.
Okay. So that's not the impression I've got, Michelle. Is that the impression you've had in Australia?
Yeah, I had the impression there was thousands.
Right, they're zooming in. They're shooting this thing to make it look like there's more than there is. I have never been more grateful in my life to live in California because each state, because of states' rights, weirdly enough, each state is its own little fiefdom, and each county is its own little fiefdom, and each city is its own little fiefdom. And so, like, the governor of New York tried to shut down New York, but the mayor of New York was like, nope.
Nope.
And so that's why New York was the epicenter, and that's why we have 50,000 dead people in this country.
How do you have, let's go into the mind of the protester, how do you have 50,000 deaths? Because the images that are coming out of, you know, graves in bloody parks and all the things that Americans haven't seen since war, and images from Italy and other places. How do you have that and then go, but fuck it, I'm going to the beach?
Well, it's that weird, rugged individualism that we've been sold since we were babies, right? Yeah. You're like, nah, feck it. I'm going to go out and I'll show you. And you're like, who are you showing? You're not showing anybody. You're dying is what you're doing. And if you're not dying, you're getting someone else sick. And, you know, there's this celebration of ignorance that has been building for decades.
Yes.
Where they're just like, oh, you think you're so smart. And I was like, has no one read A Canticle for Leibowitz? What has happened? There's no one reading science fiction anymore. We learned nothing.
It's the anti-intellectualism, which is also rife in Australia, but I think we're a bit behind you. Because we don't have the same culture of individualism, Michelle. Would you agree with that?
100%. It was really interesting here because we've definitely had that war on experts is what I've called it for a long time.
Totally.
You know, yeah, absolutely. That, you know, just because you're an expert, just because you're a scientist, what makes you think you know better than I do? Definitely had that, refined it over climate change. But for some reason, the fear of this worked, and everyone just swallowed their pride and got inside and did the thing. But I think you're right, Nellie. I think it's the same as when we look at the gun laws and the attitude to guns and stuff in the States. We don't understand it, but see that individualism and that the right to arms is so powerful, it overrides everything.
The base sort of feelings I think we have in common, if I'd put it that way, like there is definitely the, with anti-intellectualism is just fear. you know, it's the fear of the aluminium siding guy or the guy punching, you know, the hairdresser or whoever, all of us going, oh, well, I'm not done.
Wouldn't it be great to genuinely believe that climate change wasn't real? Like, wouldn't that be so relaxing?
Yes, yes.
Believe that you knew better than...
What a relief.
How wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, actually. It's true. But I think that feeling's the same, but it manifests differently based on different cultural factors and structural and political factors. And as you said, we have universal healthcare, for example. Like, that's a really different situation. Yeah. We can see, honestly, Jackie, we look at it and kind of go, we love, even the right, love our healthcare system so much, we don't want to fuck it up.
We see Americans talking about their rights and their amendments and stuff like that. Like, we don't have a constitution.
We don't have it, yeah. Yeah, we don't have Bill of Rights, yeah.
Yeah, the narrative that essentially the Kool-Aid that we've been sold. I mean, the thing...
It's Puritanism too, right?
Well, it's not, though.
Oh, Andy's speaking. Come in, Andy.
Well, I was just thinking about the difference in the way that the U.S. was settled by Western Europe than Australia. Yeah. No, it was a lot of religious pilgrims and a lot of our philosophy and the way that our country was sort of built and organized from the get-go.
What's the strand in that sort of Puritanism? Because I think you're right. It is a very, like, we're convict settlers. How does that play out now in terms of Trump, in terms of coronavirus, in terms of responding to lockdown? Like, what are the echoes?
Jackie and I were talking about this the other day. Ultimately, I blame Gutenberg.
We all do.
But you know, it's here in America where our disdain for authority has sort of stepped all the way up to, we joke about like having a personal relationship with Jesus.
Right. That muddies, yes. I mean, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus,
then you can, then you don't have any authority.
No, you won't.
Yeah. Nobody can tell you what to do about anything.
It's like the collective psyche has actually elected a teenager. I don't follow rules. I'm defiant. Do you know what's really interesting in Australia? We like to think, because of the convict story and because we're larrikins and the fucking shrimp on the barbie and all the other nonsense, we like to think that we're anti-authoritarian, but we're not.
No.
And this is one of the reasons that it's worked, because we go, okay, daddy. Okay, you said the same. Okay, no worries, don't hurt me.
Yeah, I think our corona experience has been a great example of our compliance. And you should see our media. Yeah. It's so hilarious the way they keep talking about how we're smashing corona. But it's actually just this example of how well-behaved we are and how compliant and what great rule followers we are, because we don't like to look at ourselves that way at all, but that's actually who we are.
Oh, no, we think we're all sticking it to the man, but we do exactly what the man says. If I put a positive spin on that, I do think part of the reason for that, and this is the same in New Zealand, is because even though I'm not a fan of our Prime Minister, we do have, relatively speaking internationally, a fantastic health system, a decent safety net, free education, public education that's free-ish. You know, we have a functioning society, and there's something in the psyche that goes, don't fuck this up.
The AFL will come back. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I've got good news for you two, actually. It's a surprise Michelle and I wanted to say for the end. I'm glad Andy's here for this. As soon as the flights open, because it'll be, let's say 10 months, 12 months, maybe for America, it'll probably be, we're sending all four of our kids over to stay with you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we've had enough. So, yeah, be kind to them. It's called exchange. Yeah, you pay for everything.
Yeah.
Good news all around. Poor Michelle, I feel like because I was so excited to catch up with Jackie that I have talked and talked and talked.
No, it's been wonderful.
Very nice to meet you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our little wireless chat. And Andy, I'm so glad that you were there as well.
Yes.
Me too.
Hopefully we'll see you at some point properly in person. But until then.
Take care, you guys.
Bye.
See you later, Laurie.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.